bless you. God bless you, Brother Jesse. God bless you, Sister Faith. Amen. We praise the Lord for his faithfulness to be together this morning again, gathered in his name to worship and praise him. Amen. We thank him for Sister Dash coming. Amen. God bless you, Sister Dash. Welcome back. You know, it was not easy in London, but it was just a threat. He was just trying to, but he could not succeed. As long as the saints were on their knees praying, Sister Dash came yesterday, but she got a little complication at London when she wanted to cross over to come here. So she was retained for how many hours? 4 hours. But she's in our midst. We praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. We are saying it, but we know it by experience, that it's not a story that someone told us, but seeing what our lives were and what they have become, O Lord, seeing the gods we were worshiping and the God you, the Almighty, we are worshiping today, it's just a display of your goodness to us. And we want to express our thankfulness, O Lord, by coming to worship you. We want to express our gratitude by being at your ministry, helping your people, serving you, and doing what you require for us in this world. Help us in our weaknesses, O Lord. We know that the blood is there to cover, but we are asking that every day we might become closer to the image that you want us to display to this world, O Lord. That's why let the word that we hear every day cleanse us, O Lord, and make us to that perfect image, O Lord. Bless now the service today. Bless the reading of the word. Bless the singing. Bless the offerings. Bless the preaching. Bless everything, Heavenly Father, as we commit this time into your hands. Be with us now in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's open John chapter 4, 20 to 24. Welcome back, Sister Chipo. Amen. From a long journey from Zimbabwe, we praise the Lord for that. But as what, God bless you. Amen. We know that the Lord will assist you in your trials. Amen. Amen. John 4:20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus says unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship he you know not. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you for the reading and for the listening of the word. Amen. So, we are still looking at our main topic, offerings and sacrifices, as we saw that the best offering we can give to God is our worship, our being, all our body, spirit, and soul is the first offering. That's why our service to God is the sacrifice, is the offering. We saw that God, Jesus said he made us a kingdom. He made us priests to God. And priests, their job, the ministry of the priest is to offer sacrifices. So since we are priests, our job, our ministry is to offer sacrifices. And the sacrifice, we said, is our being. So today we are going to look at this subject, worshiping in spirit and in truth. Because last week we saw that to worship God, you must first know who you are worshiping. Jesus said to the woman, "You worship what you know not." Because the Samaritans, they were worshiping God because they told them. But Jesus, from a point of view of an Israelite, of a Jew, they were in the Old Testament, they were the bride of God. Amen. They had a husband and wife relationship between Israel and the Lord Jesus and the Jehovah. So on that point of view, they knew God because they had a personal relationship with God. They knew God not because they read it in the Bible, but they knew God because there was a oneness between them and God. So we said we can worship God only if that relationship, that oneness relationship is established between you and God. Knowing God means becoming husband and wife with God. Amen. When the Bible says Adam knew his wife, it was not knowing as seeing Eve, because he saw Eve before. But knowing in that aspect, you know, it involved a oneness. They've become one flesh. Amen. That's how you can worship God, only if you have become one with God. If you know God and God knows you. That's why Jesus could say, "I am in the Father and the Father is in me." And he wanted him to be in you and you in him, that oneness, that close relationship, then you can worship. Amen. So today we are talking about worshiping in spirit, because you can't worship. Jesus told the woman wanted to show her understanding of worship, because her worship was bound to one physical location. For her, you know, for that generation there, those who were worshiping in Jerusalem for the Samaritans, it was not the true worship. And for the Jews, the Samaritans, since they were not coming over to Jerusalem to worship, they were not worshiping. But Jesus wanted to show to the woman that worship doesn't depend on your physical location. Worship, true worship, doesn't depend on where you are, whether you go in Jerusalem or you stay in them on the mountain, or you go, I don't know, into Mecca or wherever you want to go. Worship, physical location, doesn't have anything to do with worship. You can worship in Jerusalem and give a good worship to God. You can worship in Samaria and still give a true worship to God, but the condition is not being in Jerusalem or in Samaria, but the condition is being in spirit and in truth. Amen. Worship God in spirit and in truth. What does it mean? So that's why Paul, when talking to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, he was recommending him. 1 Timothy 2, verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Amen. Amen. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So it was a time where worship, the Jews were still worshiping in Jerusalem. And we know the discussion around the new believers, the Greek and everyone that was coming to the faith. There was still that influence of Judaism on the early church, that people should go and pray in Jerusalem. People should circumcise. People will do this. But Paul comes and shows that you don't need to go to Jerusalem to worship. You don't need to be in a particular place for you to worship. Men can pray everywhere as long as you are in spirit. You can worship from everywhere as long as you are in spirit. And being in spirit means having the Spirit of God in you. Because there's a difference between, I think two Sundays ago, we spoke about a spirit of worship. You can, we were illustrating it by the football team.
Yeah.
They enter a spirit of worship. You can enter a spirit of worship, but not being in spirit. They enter a spirit of worship in stadiums. They worship, they sing, they praise, they do whatever, but it's not true worship. You can go to a church somewhere and enter a spirit of worship. Maybe there's drums playing, there's many things. You can jump, do, say, I'm worshiping. But it's still not true worship as long as your spirit is in worship, but you are not in spirit. Do you make the difference? Your spirit can be in worship because that's what all the religions do, but you must be in spirit. John says John was taken in spirit into the day of the Lord.
Amen.
You must enter in that relationship into the spirit. Listen to what the prophet says. He says in Be Certain of God, 1959. Jesus said, the time is coming to the woman at the well that God will honor those who worship him in spirit and in truth. Many people worship in spirit and not in truth. That's what the prophet said. And many worship in truth and not in spirit. You need both. You can be in spirit, but you are not in truth. And when he says in spirit here, we have to make a difference between you entering in your human spirit, entering a spirit of worship. But spirit here means entering the, you know, being in the spirit of God. Your spirit being taken as John was taken, lifted in spirit, in the day of the Lord.
Amen.
You surrender your whole being and you enter into the spirit. The prophet said, then you got something when the spirit of God gets into the word. She mixed it together. And when you get the spirit of God on you, mixed with God's word, something is going to happen. So worshiping in the spirit, you must have the spirit of God in you. Then the spirit of God will lead you into true worship. Then the spirit of God will lead your spirit in true worship. Your spirit can be in worship, but without the spirit of God, you are not worshiping God correctly. That's why the prophet says, I think it must be here, in the sermon, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a personal experience, 58. There's many fine churches in the world today, but there's one misses Jesus. That's bringing forth the real, true, born-again creatures of God. You know what I mean. Her name is not Methodist. Her name is not Baptist. Her name is Jesus. Mrs. Jesus, she is bringing forth people. Not members of the Methodist Church. She's not bringing forth Baptist Church or Presbyterian. She's bringing forth them, born and rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus. Now listen. She is a mystical church. She don't have any denomination. She carries none of these great big fancy names and big buildings. She meets wherever the member of these bodies gather together. So a physical location doesn't mean anything into being in the spirit. This church misses Jesus. The true place of worship is that mystical body that meets everywhere where the members of the body meet together. He says, she meets wherever the members of the body gathers together. They worship in spirit and in truth. That is worshiping in spirit and in truth. If you are in the body, if the Spirit of God makes you member of the body, then your physical location doesn't matter anymore, because when you are in the body, the Bible says, Ephesians 2, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. When you are in the body, you are worshiping from heavenly places. So whether you are in Lithuania, whether you are in Ghana, whether you are in Angola or wherever, but you are in heavenly places. Amen. And from the heavenly places, you are worshiping in truth and in spirit. Amen. So the location, as we said, the physical location doesn't matter as long as you are in spirit. Amen. Because if you are not in spirit, if the Spirit of God doesn't lead your worship, whatever you do, it will be just an imitation of Christianity. It will be just a man-made worship. The prophet says this. In the same sermon, I think, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a personal experience. He says, how was we holy? Not through what we did, but what he did for us. Because we can't be. How can you make a pig a lamb? Amen. How can you make a pig a lamb? A pig, he just gets around there and eats all kind of stuff that he can. He'll get out on a manure pile and eat a belly full. Well, you don't feel bad about that. You think that pig is just all right. It's just a good pig. He says a pig is a pig. He's born a pig with a spirit of pig in him. He'll go and eat in the mud and, do whatever he can, all the filth he can do as a pig. If you go and tell him, stop doing that, Mr. Pig, he'll say, he's just a pig. He's just a good pig. And that's exactly him expressing doing good as best as he can, because he is a pig. The best he can do is go in the mud and eat and get himself dirty. He says, that's all. But you don't see a lamb around there. He couldn't invite him over for dinner. He wouldn't come. No, what's the matter? Because he is a pig. You go tell him he's wrong. He will say, bless God, I am a pig. You keep your own grounds. A pig is born with a spirit of a pig. Lambs can't invite a pig to come and worship with them in spirit, in the spirit of lambs. Do you get it? A pig is a pig. If he worship as a pig. He does his stuff as a pig. A lamb with the spirit of a lamb in him, he will worship as a lamb and do and act like a lamb. You can't make a pig worship or act like a lamb. You can't expect a pig to give a worship the same way as a lamb will do, unless you take out the spirit of pig and you put a spirit of lamb in him. Amen. Amen. That's when the pig can worship correctly. Brother Branham is putting that illustration to show that you can't worship God with our human nature. To give a good worship, to worship in spirit, you must have a different spirit in you. Otherwise, you will always reproduce that spirit of lamb that is in you, and your worship will still be, I said, a spirit of pig that is in you, and your worship will still be a pig worship. He said, that's all, but you don't have a lamb around that. He said, but if you could take the spirit out of that, the spirit of that lamb, and put it into the pig, that pig will do the same thing as the lamb. The pig will do the same thing with the lamb spirit in him. And if you put the spirit of the pig in the lamb will act like a pig. Amen? So that's why getting into the spirit of worship, you must have the spirit of worship himself in you. Worshipping in spirit means having the spirit of God in you. And that spirit of God will make you, will take over your pig spirit. Because as a pig, you will come and try to impersonate Christianity, as the prophet says it. You'll dress like a Christian. You'll speak like a Christian for a while. But after a certain time, you'll go back to that old nature. That's not the kind of worship God is expecting from us. He wants us to enter the spirit of worship, to enter into that baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you enter into the body, then you are lifted up, seated in the heavenly places. And from the heavenly places, you can then give a proper worship, a true worship to God. So this is what we wanted to show today. Worship in truth. Worship in spirit and in truth. The truth we know is the word of God. But you, as the prophet says, you can worship in truth without spirit, and you can worship. People worship in spirit and not in truth, and many in truth and not in spirit. You may have the word. You come to church, we preach the good word. That is the truth, the revealed word today. But you need to enter into the spirit of worship. You need to be, to have the spirit of God in you. Spirit and truth put together, then it produces true worship. The prophet was illustrating it with that woman, that widow, when she took oil and meal, put them together. He says you need to mix them together, then it will produce the result. You may say, I attend a good church, we have a good pastor, he preaches the truth, but you must enter the spirit. Amen. If you don't enter into it, even that spirit of God in you that will take over your spirit and make you worship God in the way that God wants you to do. Amen. Amen. So I think today we're going to stop there. Let God add his blessings to the preaching of the word, and we believe that he will make it more clear in your meditation so that our worship will be something that God will be pleased with. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, we bless you. Now we commit the remainder of the service into your hand. Come and fellowship with us, O Lord. Let us really enter the spirit of worship so that you only in us, because we don't know how to pray. The Bible says the Holy Spirit in us pray for us, O Lord. And the same Holy Spirit in us will help us worship correctly. We commit everything into your hands. Take now control in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.